In the name of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, Jesus was told, you know, in this gospel reading today by a horrible atrocity. It was horrible. You know, some people had come from Galilee to worship in the Jerusalem temple. And Pilate's soldiers had invaded that temple and it slayed on the spot many Galileans, mingling their blood with the blood of animal sacrifices. It was horrible. It was murder, pure and simple. Even worse, it was desecration. Roman soldiers had God's people killed and defiled God's temple. Why did Jesus' questioners bother Jesus with the news of this matter? You know, I think that they were stunned. They were stunned, trying to figure it out, trying to understand why it happened. Had the Galileans committed some terrible sin? Was this God's punishment? What was going on? Furthermore, I suspect that they were asking themselves, and what can we do to avoid such fate? You see, it's terrible to have bad things happen. It's even worse not to know why. Having to guess what went wrong, having no idea how to save yourself. So, some people told Jesus about Galileans slaughtered in the temple. They didn't ask Jesus why it happened, but that question nevertheless hung in the air. Why? What did these Galileans do wrong? And a second question also hung in the air, the question behind the question. What can I do so I don't suffer the same fate? That's the real point of telling Jesus about the massacre. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus could explain things. Maybe he could tell them how to escape the Roman sword. The question, why did this happen? The question behind the question, what can I do to avoid this happening to me? You know, we all ask those questions when terrible things happen, and we often come up with the wrong answer, sometimes a terribly wrong answer. Barbara Brown Taylor, a noted preacher, you know, an author of many books, tells of an incident that took place when she was serving as a hospital chaplain. A little girl was having surgery for a brain tumor, and Barbara went to visit the mother. The mother confessed that she knew why the daughter was sick. The mother said, "It's my punishment for smoking those darn cigarettes." She wailed, "Now I'm supposed to stop, but I can't stop. I'm going to kill my own child." Listen carefully to that mother, and you will hear the question and the question behind the question, and the mother's answers to both questions. The question, why is my daughter sick? The answer, because I smoke cigarettes. The question behind the question, what can I do to make my daughter well? The answer, stop smoking cigarettes, according to her mother's not so good logic. Barbara tried to reassure the mother that God was not punishing her for smoking, but it was a hard sell. The mother found it comforting to believe that her smoking was killing her daughter because if she could quit, maybe her daughter would get well. Now let me assure you that I don't believe that God was punishing this mother, or that the daughter's illness had anything at all to do with her mother smoking, or that the mother could have saved her daughter by quitting. But you know, sometimes suffering, and I have to mention this, is the result of our personal sin. For example, you rob a bank and you get caught, you'll go to jail. I mean, that's quid pro quo. But sometimes our suffering is because we live on a fallen planet. Bad things happen, and often they happen for no apparent reason. When tragedy strikes, and we can all expect to face tragedy at some point, we ask the question, why? And the question behind the question, what can I do? The people who told Jesus about the massacre in the temple didn't ask these questions directly, but Jesus knew what was on their minds. He knew that they wanted to know why this massacre happened and what they could do to avoid a similar fate. So Jesus told them, listen carefully to his answer. If you haven't already had to ask these questions in your life, if you haven't already experienced a tragedy, the day will come when you most likely will. So listen to what Jesus has to say. Jesus answered the first question, the why question. Jesus told them that the slain Galileans were no worse than anyone else. They had not done anything to deserve death. The massacre was not God's judgment. It was one of those things, bad things happen. Sometimes they happen to good people. But then Jesus went on to answer the second question, the what can we do question. Jesus said on the one hand that the people who had been killed had done nothing wrong or nothing worse than anyone else. They weren't bad people. Bad things happened. But on the other hand, Jesus told his questioners to repent, to turn to the Lord, to change their ways. Repentance might or might not save them from the Roman sword, but it would prepare them for a life in God's kingdom. And then Jesus told them a parable. This parable warned them that they must be fruitful. That was the rest of his answer to the what we can do question. Listen to the two parts of Jesus' answer to the what we can do answer. First, repent. Turn to God. Just turn around. Get moving in the right direction. Start bearing spiritual fruit. Will those things save us from tragedy? No. No, they won't save us from suffering. No. They won't keep us from dying. To be honest, Jesus promised not a rose garden, but a cross. We cannot expect that nothing bad will ever happen to us if we are faithful. But Jesus calls us to repent and turn to Jesus because our repentance opens the door to the many blessings of God. For one thing, when we repent, when we start moving in the direction that God would have us go, we are less likely to engage in self-destructive behavior. And you know, I know firsthand that many Christians sin. I know we can behave destructively. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you won't do something wrong, won't mean you sin, won't mean you might have some destructive behaviors. But I'm telling you, the person who commits their life to Christ, who lives out their baptismal covenant, seems to be less likely to self-destruct than the person that is not. That's a blessing. But that's just the beginning. When we walk with God, we find strength through God's presence. We find hope through God's love. And that makes all the difference. When times get tough, we know that we are not alone. We know that God will help us and is walking with us. We know that faith helps to keep us on the right path, helps to keep us moving, helps us to do the right thing, and that's a blessing. And then God transforms our bad moments. God makes something holy out of them. The first woman member of Alcoholics Anonymous, Mrs. Marty Mann, wrecked her life with alcohol. Twice she tried to commit suicide. Then AA helped her to stop drinking. And later, reflecting on her life, she wrote the following. My suffering helped me to know things. Don't we all endure suffering one way or another? This fact gives me a deep sense of kinship with other people and a consequent desire to help others in any and every way I can. Do you hear the blessing in that? God transformed her suffering into something redemptive, used her suffering to soften her heart, to give her compassion for others, and that was a blessing. Someone put it this way in a much beloved poem. It goes like this: God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. That's true, my friends. And that is one of the greatest blessings of all. In the name of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.